Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge.
Hey there, it's Angela from Been There, Done That. If you're navigating the wild, unpredictable world of grief, I want to invite you to something special. It's called Messy Mornings, and it's our free weekly newsletter filled with real talk, gentle reminders, and support that actually meets you where you are. Each week, I'll send you stories, reflections, healing prompts straight to your inbox. No fluff, no pressure, just the space to release, feel, and heal. You don't have to do this alone. Head over to donethatpodcast.com and sign up for Messy Mornings. It's totally free, and it's made with you in mind. I've been there, and let's walk through this together.
Hi, y'all. It's Angela Dunn Cartledge, your host of the Been There, Done That podcast, and I'm here with Rebecca Shaper. We are going to talk trauma, and we are going to talk all things rainbows and roses. So I cannot wait to have this conversation. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here.
Angela, thank you very much for having me here. I'm looking forward to this wonderful conversation, and we'll just be in the flow with it, and you can ask anything you want.
Excellent. I would love it if you would tell our audience why you're here, who you are, and what brought you to the show, and then we can kind of pick up questions as we want from there.
Sure. Well, I'm Rebecca Shaper, and I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and I came from a family of two parents who died by suicide. My mother was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. To this day, I feel like that diagnosis was not properly diagnosed. And my father sexually abused me, and I found out later after he passed away, he abused my daughter, which was the most devastating thing I've ever heard in my life. But thank God he's dead. But he died by suicide, and my mother died by suicide, and my older brother, Call, C-A-L-L, was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia as well. And so probably in his college years, he took off for 20 years. I always knew he was alive. And we kind of went our separate ways with the trauma. He went one way, I went another way. And we dealt with it differently. But through a miracle, after 20 years, we found each other. And I had a soul calling to do a documentary on everything that happened in my family to give others hope and to show forgiveness and passion to others as well. And my brother, Carl, was the catalyst. And then fast forward to that, I had another soul calling. I was just the vessel. I listened to write a book about it, but it was more spiritual. And then after that, 2023, my soul dog, which is the purpose of this podcast, died unexpectedly. And that was profoundly heartbreaking. I've never felt grief like that before. It was worse than both my parents dying. And it was, it took probably 8 months, a little bit longer, to really get beyond where I felt lighter. I felt lighter, and I felt like I was living my life like I normally do and is feeling more happiness. But there was so much that came in with that. All the messages my dog gave me in the afterlife. And the name of the book is Roses to Rainbows, My Dog Gus in the Afterlife. And there's so many messages in there.
There's so much phenomenal wisdom in what you're saying about the grief that you felt for your dog was more profound than when you lost either of your parents. Mm-hmm. And I love how you call him your soul dog. That was so precious. I feel like I had a soul dog before we got this one. And she just knew me so well.
Yes.
How did you know that Gus was your soul dog? What was it about him that was so connective for both of you?
That's a very good question. It was like when we got him at 8 months, we just immediately connected. And we loved doing the same adventures on the beach. We loved doing everything together. He was my co-pilot. And sometimes he would be sitting across the room and I'd look at him and he would look at me. And we just knew telepathically we could communicate with each other. I knew him and he knew me to the core. And he was, there were just so many signs that we were meant to be in this life. And like I say, when he passed away, I felt like a huge void had left. But now, I will say that I knew in my heart of hearts that Gus would reincarnate. And actually, we got our new dog, Zeke, same breeder, from the same breeder and country. We got him on the day that my mother died by suicide, and it was 3 days prior to the death of Gus. But all the signs we had prior to that, it was so synchronized. And once we got Zeke, I see a lot of my Gus and Zeke. And I'd like for people to understand that in the book, I started taking pictures of all the messages, the profound messages that he gave to me. Because I would walk where we would always have adventures on the beach, down at the river. I would go in places where we used to be, and I knew I felt him. And there's a favorite song, Over the Rainbow by the Hawaiian guy. Because I'll back up a little bit. On the beach, we'd always see rainbows together. So that's why I got the title. And that whenever that song came on, when I was really, you know, in that grief time, the song would come on. And even my husband says now, fast forward to present, even my husband has said, I can't believe Zeke is so much like Gus. Because immediately when he came into our house, he picked up Gus's favorite toy. And there's so many things that he has done that is just like, wow. It's very remarkable. And the reason why I gave the title, put roses in there, is because on we were on the beach and my birthday is October 11th. And for some unbeknownst reason, there was a rose sticking straight up on the beach, and he went up to it and smelled it. And whenever I see a rose, that's another sign I would think of him.
Why do you think that we connect so strongly to our pets? What is it about, I think I have a theory, but I want to know what your theory is too. What do you think is so special about pets and why we are able to connect so strongly to them?
Number one, they love you unconditionally. Number two, they're always in the present moment. They're right there in the present moment. And they bring such joy in your life. I see different pieces of Zeke that he just makes my husband and I laugh so much. And we didn't have a lot of laughter after Gus had passed. We did when we had him. And he's a teacher. That's it. They're here to teach us. And if we are present and we listen and we're quiet and we can really tune in to what it is, like there could be something that Zeke would be doing and he's trying to say, hey, mom, this is what you need to be doing, or you need to just slow down, or you need to be quiet. Oh my God, I'm seeing a hawk as I go by, and hawks is one of the things that Gus, when I see a hawk, I think of Gus. I just saw one fly by. There you go. There's a message right there. And there's so much I could say about this that's in the book. I even took pictures because I was so in awe of the messages that Gus would give me. But I didn't know I was going to write the book. I just took them because I wanted to document. And now I'm really glad because with Sunny being the pet communicator, communicating to Gus, and then I had my comments on top of that after she sent the transcripts. These pictures I took coincided with a lot what she had communicated, and there was no, she didn't know, she didn't know anything, and it was him, and it was him guiding me into my shamanic practice too.
I really can see, especially with a pet, that they would want to comfort you in those moments because that's what they did when they were alive.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And like through the song, that gave me comfort. Seeing a hawk, because I'm really into animals and I connect with them a lot. And when I would see a hawk, I knew that was him saying hello, you know. Mm-hmm. So and some people may think, oh, that's just your imagination or that's just a coincidence. No. How profound was that? I'm sitting here talking to you, and
how often does a hawk fly by your window? Probably not very often,
right?
It is pretty amazing to add meaning to those sort of coincidences that we see as having bigger meaning. And that to me gives us something to hold on to. There's no harm, even if it isn't connected. The point is that it's connected for you.
Yes.
And that is a personal and very individual thing that's happening to you as a result of your process.
Exactly. And grief is very transformative. I'm telling you, it broke my heart wide open. And there were things that I learned within myself after he passed. And I know that he came to me for a reason and lived only 6 years. And you come out stronger, right? You come out stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the whole
to help others. That's the whole purpose, is to help others and support others. That's all I care about, is if I can help one individual or 1,000, I feel like I'm on my purpose in life.
I so agree. And I definitely see the resilience piece that by working through the emotions, especially the hard ones, we grow as people, but we also grow in our ability to handle other situations. So we take that information, and then we process it, and then we're able to then apply it to other things. Mm-hmm. One of the basic experiences that we have as humans is security and safety. So I hear that in your own personal story as well, that those things that happened to you as a child were happening all the time. You didn't get a chance to grieve each one as it happened. It was so overwhelming to your body and to your brain and to your heart that there was no way for you to grieve at the level that you needed to, right? To be able to process through that. I feel like the loss of Gus was your moment, was the moment that you needed to be able to process all of those things. Fantastic. That safety and that security you found in that relationship. And what I love the most about what you said about pets is that they don't just love us unconditionally. I think everybody thinks that about our pets and definitely about dogs. Mm-hmm. I am not hating on cat lovers, but I did not feel love from my cat all the time, but definitely my dog. But that presence that they experience that we tend to push away as humans, I think is the core beauty in the love of pets. And I didn't even think of that. And I'm so thankful that you did. How do you see that process evolving for you now? Now that you've gone through the loss of Gus and you have Zeke, which I love the name Zeke. I think that's a precious name. What do you see changing about you and your ability to move forward?
That's a very good question. That void has been fulfilled for sure. And I see Zeke in bringing a lot of laughter in our family, a lot of laughter. And also too, it's kind of hard for me to articulate, but every moment I am with him, I just feel fulfilled. There's something, I do believe Gus came to me for that deep grief when I was growing up, because no doubt about it, because I cried so much through that. And prior to that, I didn't. But Zeke being here, it's different. It's a different type of love. I feel like I have leveled up in a way. And I'm learning more about myself, which is really good, because I feel like I'm always learning. I never want to stop learning about myself or learning from other people. I just definitely feel that during the whole process, when Gus was dead, when he had deceased, and then when Zeke came into our life, the knowing that it was supposed to be, I think that the knowing, and Zeke is Zeke. You know, we embrace his personality for sure. But the knowing of everything that intertwined and how events just went in sync with each other, and now he's here, there's always a little bit. So that really warms my heart, that even though I know Gus is always with me, but I see a lot of Zeke in him, and that just, it warms my heart. And it also helps me understand people who have lost pets, their soul pet, their co-pilot, gives me another level of compassion.
Hey there. It's Angela from Been There, Done That. If you're navigating the wild, unpredictable world of grief, I want to invite you to something special. It's called Messy Mornings, and it's our free weekly newsletter filled with real talk, gentle reminders, and support that actually meets you where you are. Each week, I'll send you stories, reflections, healing prompts straight to your inbox. No fluff, no pressure, just the space to release, feel, and heal. You don't have to do this alone. Head over to donethatpodcast.com and sign up for Messy Mornings. It's totally free and it's made with you in mind. I've been there, and let's walk through this together.
That's what I think is the biggest lesson that I've taken from grief is that empathy piece, yeah. Is that ability then, and it doesn't, we just have to know that everybody in community with us has gone through something. We don't have to know what it is. We just have to know that they have, and that creates that connection all by itself. It's super, super rewarding to be able to say that. And I never thought I would be able to say that about my grief, that there would be a gift that comes from it would be difficult to say. But now to be able to say that is a true blessing.
Yeah, you're on the other side of it.
Right.
And it's not easy when you're in it. Oh.
And it's not linear, and it's not the same for everybody.
Right.
You talked about the 8 months that it took to kind of be able to smile again and to be able to feel like you could just do your normal daily routine again. Mm-hmm. Talk us through how you were able to get to that point. What was it did you look back and say, oh, I'm actually operating, I'm functioning again? Or was it more in the moment that you noticed that those things were coming back to you in a normal way?
So another really good question. I think the excitement of how everything synced up, knowing we were going to get Zeke, we were a little nervous about it. And then when we got him, that flow just happened organically. And that's the beauty of it all. It's not something that I forced, because there were times I wanted to force a situation before Zeke came. And I went, no, Rebecca, you cannot do this. You have to do it organically. You have to allow the process. And once he got here, it's a feeling that it's a fulfillment. I guess that's the word I'm searching for, because it's really good. It makes me really think.
Yes, that is a great word for it, because it speaks not just to that knowing that you were through the muddy part, you mm-hmm. know, or the messy quicksand kind of feeling part, but yeah. also that fulfillment that now you know what your message is that you want to take out to the world, that you want to talk to other people. And you spoke to it just a minute ago when you were talking about your empathy toward other people that have lost their pets. To me, that's the other side of that fulfillment coin. You know, you've got both pieces that you are able to take with you, and you're never really over it.
No,
that's why I really loved how you said you're through it, because I say that a lot too, that there's no such thing as getting over it when you've had a giant loss, whether it be grief or trauma, and you've managed brilliantly to have both. And what that might look like for other people is that they can then relate to those pieces.
I was just going to backtrack a little bit on what you had said. I feel very grateful and blessed in my life. If I had not experienced the trauma growing up, I do believe, no doubt, I had a guardian angel through it all. No doubt. And it's interesting, because I knew in my soul it was happening for a reason. And that reason is I can help others who have gone through parents who've died, sexual abuse, you know, alcoholics, both of them are alcoholics, all of that. But at a deep soul level, I knew that they still love me, as strange as that may sound. That's where they were in their life. They had trauma when they were growing up. And my father had PTSD from the war, and I think a lot of that brought into the marriage of my mom and him. But I know it's really difficult for people to understand what I'm trying to say, but it's almost like I understood it all. I can't articulate. I had a knowing, and I
understand.
Just understood it all, which helped with the trauma for me.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that you condoned it, or right. that you were right. saying they did well as parents. Right. That's not what you're saying. What no. I'm hearing you say is they did the best they could.
Yeah.
With what they had and what they understood, they did the best they could. And granted, it was not good, but they did everything that they knew to do, and that was as far as they could go. And I hear that.
Yeah, and you learn a lot about forgiveness in very, very difficult situations. especially when I found out about my daughter. I didn't know. It's a good thing that he had passed. I can say that when I found
I
out.
can only imagine that that would have been even more difficult to deal with. Once you know you were a victim, that's one thing, but when you trusted that grown up with your child and then they broke that trust, that's that I can't.
And she's gone. I mean, she's a warrior, and she's been able to turn shift it around and really be an advocate for women. I mean, so we go through a lot of some people when we go through very difficult situations, we have a choice. Either we can let it destroy us and not do anything, or we can turn it around and make it a gift to help others.
I love it. I love calling it a gift because that doesn't come right away. Most of the time, we don't think of the grief as a gift right away. We have to get through it a little bit.
Walk us
Through how you found Sunny and how that process.
That's a very good question too. Karen Anderson is a pet psychic, and she's written many books, and she's very well known. And I ended up getting the mass email from her, and she offered two pet psychics on her website. I went, oh, and I gravitated to Sunny, and then one thing led to another. Sunny lives in Australia, and I asked her if she'd be willing to talk to Gus and communicate with Gus. And she had 10 sessions over the 8 months. And it's remarkable what she was able to communicate, and the visions that she saw and the visions that Gus gave her. Like, he gave her a vision at our beach house that there was just no way. No, it's like I say, what if people pick up the book, it's very authentic. I'm very honest, and this is my experience. But and we had a good relationship, Sunny and I did. And the time change was a little difficult, but she wrote everything down. She journaled, she wrote everything down. And then fast forward, I thought, maybe we ought to do a book together to help others. So we were going to do that, but then it was difficult. She lived in Australia, I'm in the US, and it just didn't work out. So the author of my other book happened to email me out of the blues after not talking to him for 4 years, said, "Hey, do you have anything going on?" I went, this is happening for a reason. So Sunny has allowed us to use all the transcripts, and so it's a three-way conversation between Sunny and Gus, and then my comments and illustrations.
Right, with the pictures and all the path that you took to get to where you are. It's so fascinating to me, the concept of being able to talk to an animal that doesn't have words. And so that is so cool to have that concept in our brains that we can, they really are listening to us, even
Oh,
if we don't
they
think they
watch us. Oh, yes. They know a lot more than we want them to know. He's like, Zeke's across the room. I'm watching you.
I hear you. I heard that. I love it because it is so real that you, like I said, that we think that they aren't listening, that all they hear is a bunch of a lip service. But I swear that my dog can hear me and can understand what I'm saying to him, and I'll talk to
Absolutely.
him and give him the what for and up and down if
He's
he
like,
messes
okay,
with.
mommy, go for it. They do. I mean, yes, they it's very remarkable, because when you look into their eyes, Really, you know, if you really stop and focus and look into their eyes, you can feel that energy exchange, that frequency, and the communication. I knew Gus like I'm beginning to really know Zeke. So, and I love it. It's just because I'm a huge animal lover. I love all animals.
And it shows in the way that you talk about it, in the way that you explain the process that you went through. It really shows. And so I think I'm excited for this episode to reach the audience because I want them to be able to know that they're not crazy, that they're not experiencing just a wild coincidence, that there may be something to what is happening to them and what they're experiencing.
Listen to your body. If you feel a sensation or like goosebumps or something like that, you know that's communication with your dog. If you're looking at your dog and he's looking at you and you feel really be in tune to your body and you feel it, you're communicating.
Awesome. And it doesn't have to be words, is what I'm hearing you
That's
say.
what I'm saying. No, it's sensation, it's energy, it's frequency. Yeah,
We understand each other.
And you know, some people are like, oh God, she's a little woo-woo, but no, I just know through my experience. That's all.
What would you say to someone that is in the deep throes of grieving the loss of their pet? If they're listening right now, what would you tell them is the number one thing you want them to know?
You're not alone, and get support. And what really helped me was walking through all the memories that we had together. It's hard, but hang in there. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and you will be a different person. Trust me, you will be a different person after it's all over, and you'll look back and you'll think, wow, I didn't think I could get through this, but now I feel different. You feel different within yourself. You feel stronger, and you're just more in tune and aware. And
Do
because it's really hard, because there were times
that.
I felt guilty, you know. I felt guilty. There were times I felt guilty. I went, should I get Zeke? You know, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I don't want to lose that sense of knowing he's, but they want you to feel happy. They want you to grieve, but yet the way they would love to see you is, of course, go through the grief, but also they have no attachments to it. It's here, you know what a thought came into my mind. What Gus told Sonny was, it wasn't the quantity that I was there with you, Mom. It was the quality. And keep that in mind. And that really helped me a lot, because he had a short life with us.
6 years is not very long. And
No.
then to think that you're going to have 10 or 12 or however long and only have six is it you grieve that. You grieve the loss of the thing you thought you were going to get, right?
Yes.
And then
Yes.
you are grieving the dog on top of it. I'm learning so much just from your ability to hold space for the pain and for the joy at the same time. Love
And they
it.
want you to be present. That one of the things they say, enjoy life and enjoy the present moment. Enjoy it.
The only way to do that is to continue to feel,
Yes.
not try to get rid of it, not try to stuff it down, not
No,
try to numb it, but to
because it's going to
continue.
show up in other ways, and you know, and then you know, you're like, okay, I'm just going to shove it. But no, you have to allow, you have to go through the grief to get to the other side.
Tell us a little bit about your shaman work and how we can work with you, how we can find you, and what your ideal client looks like?
Well, I just finished the workshop, a year workshop with the Peruvian shamans in Peru, and I absolutely love it. And I'm working on my website right now. My website is RebeccaShaper.com. It needs some tuning up. And one of the reasons why I love it so much, because there are different healing modalities, and everything is through nature. Everything is through nature. And the wisdom that they have, the ancient, we're talking ancient wisdom. And that's coming to the forefront now. A lot of the ancient wisdom from these wise people are really profound. And when I went through the whole thing, I learned so much more about nature and how to connect. And that's another thing that people could really do is, if they are really feeling that deep sense of grief and overwhelm and heartbreak, go walk out in nature. Just be quiet and go walk out. Just you'll feel a different lift, because there's beauty around us everywhere. So right now my website needs to be tuned, a little bit of tuning up. There's soul retrieval. I can do soul retrieval. I can do chakras.
Yeah. And it speaks to your passion for nature and animals. And I can hear it in your voice that this is such a powerful place for you to be. So I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
How can we find your book? I'm so thankful for your time, for your honesty, for your vulnerability. Thank you so much for being here. And I can't wait to see what this episode does in changing our audience's life.
Oh, Angela, thank you so much. And I really hope that I'm able to touch people's hearts. That's what it's all about. Oh, I got teary-eyed.
It is. That's exactly what it's all about. That's the point. Yes, I so agree.
Well, thank you again.